Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Vivian Bailey, good morning.
Good morning.
Vivian, we're going to talk about the great Pat Inglesby now. Pat, of course, died sadly in March, and you were Pat's dear friend and companion and his partner for a time, and you are now the keeper of his poems, because I know he entrusted his work to you, and you've been working on a project to publish a collection of Pat's street poetry. But before we get to that, can I ask you about the deep connection that you and Pat shared? You say it was a sort of a destiny that brought you together, Vivian?
It was like destiny at work, yes. We both thought the same thing with Pat, actually. We talked about it frequently. I had come to Dublin from Switzerland just to visit the city, and I was walking along Westmoreland Street, and I saw this man and books, which I thought were secondhand books. And as I approached, I saw that all the portraits on the book were the portraits of the man sitting on a crate. And I got intrigued, and I picked up one book and I looked at the poems, and I loved every one of them. And for some odd reason, I put the book down and went on. And it was as I was crossing O'Connell Bridge that, honestly, I have the impression there was this tiny wee voice said to me, "Go back and get that book." So I went back and I got the book, and we didn't talk, to be honest. And in fact, Pat doesn't really remember me. And I went back to the hotel that evening. I read through the whole book and loved it. And when I went back to Switzerland, I got each one of his books, and there are about 19. And then I wrote to him, and we exchanged letters in a very old-fashioned way for about a year. And then I went back to Dublin to meet him. And this was in 2005, exactly 20 years ago.
Vivian, I spoke to Pat on this show a few years ago, and he described you as my closest, dearest and most loving friend. Nobody loves me or knows me more than she does. Nobody knows more about my work than she does. So I think your relationship with Pat was in two phases, wasn't it? You were in a relationship initially and then became great friends.
Yes, we remained very close right up to the very end, really the very end, yes.
And how long did the relationship last? The initial relationship?
To be honest, it was something very difficult, simply because there was a huge age gap between us.
Yeah.
But Pat has, and right until the very end, he remained so young at heart. It was quite astonishing. And there's just a moment when, you know, it happens. I was just finding it difficult, and I said to Pat, "Listen, we've got to find another way of doing this." And he said, to begin with, he said, "I can't." So I didn't hear from him for about 6 months. And then he called me, thank God. And he said, "Listen, Vivian, I cannot live without you. I want you in my life." So this began just an even closer relationship in a different way, if you like.
So tell me a bit about the Pat you knew.
I knew Pat, obviously, as a lover, as a man, as a friend, as a brother, as a father. He was someone incredibly supportive, really supportive. Love poured out of him in every way. He taught me two things. He taught me self-worth. He taught me to believe in myself. And he taught me to go by your gut feeling. It's one of the most honest feelings that you can, that can take you through life. And I think Pat lived himself with that, with gut feeling. He wasn't an easy man. He could be very trying and very tiring at times. And we had row upon row upon row. But that just built the relationship even more, if you like.
But I bet it was worth it too for the good that was in him.
Yes, of course. And it wasn't just good. It was just this mind that was like, it was like opening a box of fireworks. And sometimes you had to push the lid down to stop the fireworks coming out. And even when it was closed, it was still fizzing. This was Pat's. And I just loved his mind. I could have traveled there for years.
Yeah, So you're very lucky. You say he could be difficult, like, and I think he had kind of a reputation in recent years, particularly for that he could be a little bit prickly and all that kind of thing. But the sense was there was a real tender heart at the middle of that, was there?
Oh, there was a huge, huge tender heart. He loved life. He loved human beings, but he needed authenticity.
Yeah.
And if he was approached by anyone where he didn't feel authenticity, then yes, he could become difficult. And he had no problem saying to someone, just fuck off.
Okay. And listen, where he got that authenticity for him a lot, for a long time was he wanted to be out where people were on the street, and he loved that energy. I'm just going to play a little clip because I think it would be nice for us to hear Pat's voice in here. This is what he told me in 2022 about the buzz he got from being on the street.
When I was out on the street, getting moved on by the guards and selling me books on the street and having adrenalising adventures day after day, that was where I lived, and that was the real world. Every so often I'd hear the media saying things like, we decided to go out on the street and get the views of some ordinary people. I've never met an ordinary person in my life. I remember the extraordinary support I used to receive on the street from the persons I refer to as the brethren. One day one of the brethren came along and my walking stick had just been stolen. And he said, all right, pal, what's the story, bro? And I sort of tell you the story is someone's after rubbing me stick. Which way do you go, pal? I said, up that way towards Grafton Street. Right. He was back in 4 minutes with my stick. And he said to me, and I broke his nose for you too, pal. It was a fairly new life for me at the beginning. But after a while, I was 20-odd years after it, and I just adrenaline my way through, you know.
That's the amazing Pat Inglesby talking there. Vivian, did Pat see things in people that other people missed? Was that it?
I suppose so, yes, because I saw what he saw, but I have received over the years so many messages from people who wanted me to pass something on to Pat. And I was always surprised by they always said, what you've just said is, he sees what we do not see. And not only that, he just saw the little things. He explains in the little bit you've just put on. He just saw the little things in life, the what other people call the ordinary things in life. And I think this is what I loved, is the way he described these things, because that's what makes life. That's what we are. It's these little things. It's these ordinary things. It's nothing else.
Yeah.
And obviously at the level of the street, that's what he saw.
Yeah. And like you're right, we're all rushing past.
Exactly.
And he stopped and he's looking. You would say, I know, Vivian, that his presence on Westmoreland Street there, you see it as a significant artistic endeavour.
I do. I don't think he did it on purpose at all. In fact, I know he didn't. It just happened. He decided to sell his books on the streets. At the time, at the very beginning, he was also going into bookshops all over Ireland, giving in his books. And then he got tired because of polio. It was becoming challenging simply to find the energy to do all this. So he just started really only selling on the streets. And I've gone and forgotten your question. What was it? Sorry.
That you think it was an artistic endeavour?
Yes. Yes. Because he always writes about the present and what he sees. I put in the present, what I'm saying. He was like a naturalist who spends hours looking at an anthill and how ants behaves. He was doing this with human beings. He was doing exactly this with human beings. And over a period of 20 years, what he's done, and I think really Dublin should be so proud of it, he's written a history, a 20-period history of street life in Dublin. And I think that's extraordinary. I think it's unique. I do not think there is a poet anywhere else in the world who's done something like that. The only other people I can think of are street photographers, actually, who spend hours in the street, and their photos are human behaviour or the little bits, you know. They'll, there's one poem which is, in fact, the title of the book, Out of the Blue Pink, and it's simply Pat. It's written in a few words. He's sitting there writing, and he sees this little face come up under the brim of his hat, and on the other end of the face is a little pink frock. And it's just this little girl has just come up to see what's under the hat, and that could be a photo. And this is Pat. And it's, I do think it's a very special endeavour. He didn't do it on purpose, which makes it all the more beautiful.
And so you mentioned this this project. Now, you and Pat were working on this before he died, I know.
Yes.
And you're
yes.
This is not some kind of memorial thing, because we know that he didn't want us all to suddenly start celebrating him after he died, the people who hadn't celebrated him in life. So yes. It's a collection of his street poetry. It's called Out of the Blue Pink.
Yes.
And explain to me the project now to get this published.
Well, what I decided to do, what I wanted to do, was to publish it the way Pat had done all his books. And in fact, a network of friends who are skilled, or who have their own professional skills, have all offered their time and energy to Steve Averill, who did all his cover designs, has designed this cover. David Rooney, the artist David Rooney, has drawn a wonderful illustration. I wanted it to be a little bit different this time and not take a photo, so it's something that's drawn. And other people have got together for the typesetting, etc. And so this book, I went through all of his books, and I got almost 1,000 poems that described street life over 20 years. And I trimmed that down to about 300. And what's funny is, I think it was shortly before Pat died, or perhaps just after, I stumbled over an envelope I had at home, and I looked inside, and there were tons of photos that I'd completely forgotten about. 20 years ago, when Pat wanted to show me what it was like selling on the streets, he got a disposable camera and he took photos for me. So he took himself photos of people on the streets, of his books, how he displayed them, the signs he used to put up, Irish writer, not dead yet, sorry, this kind of thing. too much imagination, yes.
So you're putting this together in a book, and people can, you're doing it the way Pat did it, independently.
Yes.
So there's a Kickstarter fundraiser. If people want to give money, and they can get various packages of copies of the book. There's also, I know, nice prints and T-shirts and stuff, and people will find that if they look up, like Google Pat Inglesby Kickstarter, and they'll find it. Vivian, would you read us a short poem from the collection?
Yes, of course. It's called Another World. She was writing the words on her cardboard with my black marker. Please give me money for a hostel and food. Thank you. God bless. Then she drew a little smile on it. She seldom smiles herself. When she does, it is a slow one. Ow, she said suddenly. She was fiddling with one of her back teeth. There was blood on her finger when she looked at it. She gave the cardboard to her little brother and she chewed a pink sweet till it was good and sticky. She wedged it against the back tooth and she worried it this way and that. Her eyes were completely in what she was doing. When she was writing on the cardboard, her eyes were completely in that too. I have never met a child from the outside before who is so completely inside of everything that she's doing. With no sound at all, she pulled out the pink sweet, with blood on it the colour of darker pink, and her fresh tooth stabbing it to death. It's not hurting me now, she said, and she threw it away.
Vivian Bailey, thank you so much. It's a beautiful story of your story. It's such a beautiful story of love and friendship and of a great man. Thanks, Vivian.
Thank you very much.